The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Jason Neal, one of the co-owners of Peterborough United. I must warn you that the Yellow Block podcast contains some strong language and adult themes. So be warned and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the Yellow Block, a Peterborough United podcast. And as you've just heard at the intro, now on the TalkSport Fan Network, which is very exciting. I am Tim and I'm joined this evening by Nathan.
Evening. You all right?
Yeah, not bad yourself?
Not bad. Not bad. Thank you very much.
Good. Also delighted to welcome back Sam.
Hi, Tim. Hi, guys.
How are we doing?
Yeah, all right. After the weekend, of course.
Yeah, exactly. That 3 points always is what the doctor ordered. And I'm also joined by Jared. Now, I've just found out, Jared, that you have held hands and said, I love you, because that's how you make babies, obviously. I've just found out that you've got your lovely wife pregnant. I genuinely didn't know this until just now. So congratulations. You're looking at me like this isn't public news, but it is now. So congratulations, Jared. Yay.
Yeah, I've kicked her in the back for the second time. It's all good. She's doing well. But yeah, I've not been shouting about it, but thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't know this, and B, I didn't know you had it in you for a second time. So.
Nor did I, but I've got a good 2 minutes in me every now and again, Tim.
What do you do for the other 90 seconds? Is it, no, that's good news, mate. Good.
Thank you very much.
Little boy or girl, when are we due?
Boy and March.
Wow. Well, even so, you're on your way to a five-a-side team now.
I'm getting there.
Have you picked a name yet?
No, not yet. I'm going to have a gander. Normally, what I did last time is just like a... go into an old care home and choose any old name. That's what we like to do. So I'll have a rummage about and have a look.
That's very true. It does also mean, of course, that, you know, Matthew Kisby isn't allowed around your house for the next 18 years. Anyway, since we last recorded, and apologies, by the way, there's been a gap since we last recorded. It's a very long story. It involves Jared and the Morrison's fresh produce aisle. But in any case, we're back. And since that last episode, we've played four times, won twice, lost once, drawn one. Oh, and we're through to the next round of the Nestle Cup. Insert rapturous applause here. Oh, and DMAC has dumped us for some wombles. That's all coming up on the Yellow Block. So the official Posh podcast is coming back for its, I want to say, third relaunch. Might be more, I don't know. They're asking for a host. Any takers? Jared is 18 times host of the season. Are you interested in dipping your hat into the Posh ring?
I don't think I speak well enough of that, do you?
No, and there is probably reading involved, which obviously, as we know, is your Achilles heel as well.
That is a problem, yeah.
Sam, you seem like an obvious choice with your connections. You launched the kit a few years ago. Surely the Posh podcast is the next step.
Yeah, but I've not been invited back since. I think my hair just greatly offended everyone because that was right in the height of lockdown. I think, you know, I was 90% hair on the screen at that point and just obviously horrified everyone to never be asked again.
You did launch one of the sexiest kits of the last few years, though, so there is that going.
I'll take personal credit for that. What, yeah. Was it the away kit or the home kit? I can't remember which one I held.
It was the home kit. It was the home kit. And your enthusiasm prompted me to order one there and then. And I very rarely.
I got paid nothing and I had 0% commission. So,
Tim, you brought the kit, and I booked myself in for a haircut after watching it.
Yeah, suddenly spike in barbers, wasn't there? Nathan, I saw your name tagged on Twitter. Could you be tempted over to the dark side of the official pod?
Was I tagged?
Yes, I hope so. I'm sure I saw you tagged on Twitter. No,
if it was, I didn't see it.
Oh, fair
I
enough.
Can't well, lie. There
you go. I've just volunteered you in any case. Of course, none of you want to leave the yellow block, and you're all, you know, contractually obliged to be here for 12 months. But other than that, you know, you're more than welcome to. We'll talk agents' fees with Phil Adlam at Posh. That can be done. Kisby, maybe, do we reckon? Please take him.
Yeah, have him. Posh check podcast. Him.
The episodes would be 2 hours long, I think.
Yeah, but it would, you know, they can have him on a free loan. We'll pay his wages, however they want to do it. Dara says that he's off to Wimbledon. I don't know if you lads have seen this, but in a Five Live interview, he hypothetically, I need to add, said that Wimbledon would be his, or in his top five of next ventures. Now, bearing in mind, he's looking at selling the club allegedly to spend time with his family, and is already eyeing up, it would seem, his next challenge. It kind of reminds me of Dembele wanting to move nearer to home and then ended up in Bournemouth, doesn't it, a little bit? I don't know. What do we think about this and the fact he wants to take on the Wombles?
I don't know. You've got to take it with a pinch of salt, haven't you? It reminds me a bit of Ronnie O'Sullivan in his latest interview when he goes into his regular outbursts. But I'm not sure, you know, I don't know, if your reason for selling is to spend more time with the family, whether you'd go and buy somewhere else. But of course, he did nearly buy Woking before Posh. That was the club he very, very nearly bought. I think it's quite close to where his UK base was. So obviously Wimbledon, not a million miles away either from that. So, you know, I can see the appeal of that. It's a club with a new ground and would be on the up. But yeah, as I say, pinch of salt on that one.
Can see the potential at the club, though. It's true what he says, isn't it, Nathan? They are a sleeping giant. They've got real potential. The fan base from the previous Wimbledon never really emigrated over to MK Dons. So there's probably an appetite there. And geographically, it's in a pretty good area.
Yeah, no, they are a good club, and they've got a similar kind of youth academy to us. You know, they try and produce their own players. Always sort of, you know, been a historical club, maybe even more so than ourselves. So I can see the appeal. And obviously, yeah, being close to where he's from or where he has a house even. And obviously that kind of London connection probably does have its... Yeah, have its plus points. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. And again, as Sam said, I think, yeah, take it with a pinch of salt, purely because we don't know the context of too much of what was said in that interview. I've not heard the rest of it, so I don't quite know what question was sort of posed to him too much more than that. And I think he's always said this. He's always said that if he's not involved in Posh, he would always buy another club somewhere else. So I don't think it's a surprise on that front. I think it's more maybe the framing of that short clip maybe sort of makes it look a little bit worse than it is. But even so, I think it's a little bit foolhardy to kind of talk quite that matter of fact about things when you're still owning a club. It's probably not the best idea, but also at the same time, you know, he's free to speak his mind, and he does that on his own podcast as well. So I guess we can't sort of bash him too much for that. But it, you know, maybe wasn't the greatest idea, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the most Dara kind of statement ever. You know what it reminds me of, and I probably shouldn't say this, particularly not on when it's recorded. But with my one of my previous ex girlfriends, the relationship had gone relatively sour, relatively stale.
I'm looking forward to where this is going, actually.
most people are just surprised at that point that I've added that. But
yeah, I did notice girlfriends in plural as well, Tim. So
I know. I've had only a couple, but I it was going stale, and it was also coming up to my birthday, and I knew that the relationship had run its course. I'm not saying I held on because my birthday was coming, but I sort of buried my head in the sand. And when she was asking what I wanted for my birthday, God, I'm such a dreadful human. I've realized as I'm describing this now, I asked for an iTunes voucher, knowing full well that I would probably use it to pay for Tinder Plus once I'd finally ended the relationship with her. That's exactly what this situation reminds me of just here. He's using his pedestal at Posh to try and pitch for his next venture. God, I'm such a terrible human being.
Now, I think Dara's always had that soft spot for Wimbledon, hasn't he? I think he's always liked them. I know he mentioned before the reason he started you know, being a fan of Liverpool was because they were playing, it was Liverpool v Wimbledon in the FA Cup. So he could have well been a Wimbledon fan. So I think he's always had that soft spot for him. I know he likes Bradford as well. I think he wants a new challenge now, don't he? I know what everything he says, you have to dilute a little bit, but I think he's looking elsewhere more than ever before.
Yeah, and I think we've been in this situation before, haven't we, where words have been said and rumours have been circulating. And, I think that was the first thing that happened when Randy and Jason came on board back in, whatever it was, 2018. And it was like, OK, this is the exit strategy for Dara to slowly hand things over and then move out. And, of course, the relegation last season wouldn't have helped. And, you know, the whole atmosphere around the club wouldn't have helped as well last season. And he may well have gone, you know, stale and fed up with it. So, it may be very legitimate, but there may also be a bit of strategical positioning here on a platform like he was on to sort of maybe get some posh fans to think, oh, do we really want him to go or not, and bring some of that love back? I don't know. Two different ends of the spectrum, and it's probably one of those rather than anything in the middle, you know, either entirely legitimate or entirely strategical.
No, I agree. It's too early to start doing a post-mortem of his tenure because he's still in situ. But one of the things that we will talk about when he does leave is his dealings in the transfer market, because that's kind of been the foundation of our success over these last few years. But we know there's been some that have... you throw enough mud and it doesn't stick. And there has been some absolute tosh that's come in during D-Mac's era. Which is an unfortunate segue to another news point, I guess, that's come up over the last couple of weeks, which is that of young Joel Randle. He's come in for a lot of criticism, to the point that it's led the owners and the manager to come out and basically tell the fan base to back off and give the kids some slack. Now, we know he had some issues last year. We don't know the full extent of that, and I think we can probably read into that what we need to, the fact that the club have never told us everything that's gone on. And it's difficult because I can see both sides here. I can see that, you know, you don't want to berate him. He is young. He's clearly had problems. But at the same time, as a club, we've invested £1 million into this kid. And it's probably fair to say, Nathan, at the moment, we're not really seeing much of a return on that investment just now.
Yeah, I think that'd be fair to say. But I think also on the flip side, he's not really had a run of starts to be able to sort of build into his form. He seems to be a confidence player. And when you're only getting, 20 minutes here, half an hour here. I mean, I know obviously he started midweek in the cup. But he just can't seem to sort of catch a break, really. And it's just one of those unfortunate situations where, last season's happened and he's gone into a new season thinking this is when I can kick on. And maybe he's not been able to grasp the opportunity yet. But, as a fan base, we are so quick to sort of, say that a player's crap and, let's ship him off again. I think he's a player that just clearly just needs an arm around the shoulder, just needs a couple of games where, he has a reasonable performance and then he can build from there. We've only got to look at certain other players that we've had across the years. Leo da Silva Lopez got absolutely hammered from the fan base for a good year and a half or two. And I just think it does the player no good. I'm not saying that we can't criticise and say a player's been poor, but on the flip side, I think the level of abuse he gets does go too far. And it is a bit of a problem in football generally, not just with our club. But it's, yeah, I think he's a player that just needs a bit of time. And I think we just, as kind of the club have said, just back off a little bit. Just give him a bit of time just to sort of, get settled and try and build into a run of form, really.
Sam, as someone that's in the sort of inner workings of other clubs from a media perspective, is this unique to Posh in terms of the way that we turn on some of our younger and potentially more promising players? There's still, for example, people that are taking every opportunity they can to berate Ronnie Edwards, even though he's clearly destined for the top. Is that us or is that just football?
I think it's just football. Maybe it's slightly heightened at Posh, considering, the size of the club, just because of the success they've had with bringing people through and people have made immediate impacts. And obviously, the likes of Dwight Gale is absolutely at the top of that list in terms of where he was when he came into them when he left just months later. So I think probably it's particularly acute at Posh just because of, how good they've been at promoting players and progressing players. But I think on this pod a few a few episodes ago, we were discussing Ricky J. Jones, and we all sort of unanimously came to the opinion that yes, okay, perhaps it was underwhelming where he was at the moment, but he'd had a bad run of injuries, stop start, and we felt that with a bit of time in the team, he would come good. And thankfully, we're not ending up with egg on our face. You know, we are seeing that with him. With Joel Randle, I feel less convinced of that than I did with Ricky J. Jones. And I think there's a lot that's unfortunate about it. And, you know, how far do you go back to trace a goal to who made the error? But, you know, he comes on when we're 3-0 up against MK Dons. We nearly throw it away, 3-2. He comes on when we're 1-0 up against Wickham. We lose 3-1. He comes on when we're 1-0 down again. He plays, sorry, and we're 1-0 down against Wickham in the Cup. And then, you know, we go and equalise after he comes off. So when you look at it at a really basic level like that, it doesn't look good for him. He missed a big chance last year, didn't he? Was it in... There was a game at 0-0. Was it a Reading game or was it Barnsley? It was the home game. It was a home game, I think. And we had a chance to win it. It might have
Barnsley,
been
Barnsley, I think.
Barnsley won. Yeah, that awful, awful game at the end of November. And he had a chance and he didn't take it. And he did look good pre-season, didn't he, Randle? He was scoring some goals, but it's just for whatever reason, and you know, you've alluded to it there. He said that he had trouble moving in. It's a long way from Exeter. He struggled mentally. He didn't really feel settled. Then he got that injury. So whether it's just going to take a bit more time because of that, but yeah, like I said, I think my point is that I feel less confident that he will come good at Posh than I felt about Ricky J. Jones.
Jared?
Yeah, I mean, like Nathan said, we're all entitled to criticise, but I'd echo what he said there. I think it goes too far. I think what's added to that is one thing Dara does do is when he said about the £20 million thing, and that really doesn't help him, especially coming in. Obviously, as Sam alluded to, he's had a tough start moving away from home. He's a young lad, so he's going to be struggling with that. But yeah, saying he's had a bad game is one thing, but the constant just mocking him all the time, I don't see the sense in that. When he puts on a Posh jersey, he's trying to do his best. He's not out there to score own goals. You know, he's trying to win games for Posh, and obviously it's not worked out to date. But I think it's a football issue, but I can't see the sense in constantly berating him every time he misses a chance or anything like that. There's no need for that. If we just get behind him a little bit, and that'll probably give him that extra few percent to actually, you know, turn him into some positive performances.
He clearly just needs the pressure off of him. He just needs people to just completely lay off, not focus on him, you know, focus on another player that maybe isn't playing as well. I think he needs to just have people just not speaking about him constantly. And he's probably reading Twitter and other comments and hearing things, and it's going to spiral. And obviously he's already said he's had some sort of mental issues that have affected him. And I just think it's quite clear what he needs. And I think just as a fan base, we do just need to just sort of push back off of him and just let him get on with things.
Yeah, I think the natural rebuttal to that would be someone saying, well, you know, I pay for my season ticket, I pay for my shirts, you know, I'm entitled to have my opinion. But opinions can go too far. You know, if we go to work, you know, recording this on a Sunday night, we go to work tomorrow on a Monday, and someone doesn't do their job and they've had a bad few weeks, and we're just sarcastically applauding a mistake they make, you know, it's not going to make them do a better job, is it? And I know football isn't really like work in that way, it being an entertainment industry, it being about results and results alone, really. But it is a shame, isn't it, when Posh have, you know, they want to position themselves as a family club, and sometimes it doesn't feel like that because of what Jared said, you know, the sarcasm goes too far. And I think, you know, there's one thing taking to social media to be disgruntled about a player underperforming. There's another thing on the terraces to sarcastically mock them when something goes wrong or doesn't go right. And, it, you know, it definitely does go too far.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that summarises it quite nicely, Sam. It's for me, there's not a player, well, there is a player in Joel Randle, but there's not a player that's at the level that we bought when we purchased him. He's certainly not worth £1 million. I fully expect him to go next summer. I think Grant will play a bit part, kind of like he has pretty much all season so far. I think we'll see him as substitute appearances. I don't think he'll get that run that he perhaps needs, Nathan. I think it will just be subs. And I think he'll be gone in the summer, and it will be a cut-your-losses type job with Joel Randle. And unfortunately, one that we just add to the list when it comes to the likes of Tom Nichols and Tyrone Barnett, which is unfair because he came with a lot of esteem, but he also came with a hefty price tag. But we'll see what plays out with Joel Randle. It's quite interesting to see how the fan base has reacted to that recently, though. Lots of matches to get our teeth stuck into since we last recorded. So Oxford, Wickham, Burton and Forest Green. Let's start with this weekend and the most recent then. 2-1 win away at Oxford. Another game in which a red card had a say in the outcome. Was brilliant for me because I had a builder bet of Posh to win and a red card. So I'm 180 quid better off. Thank you very much. But also, Sam, it's 3 points for Posh at a time when they didn't play that well, I think it's probably fair to say. But it's a positive sign that they came away from that. Especially being under pressure, came away from that with the win.
Yeah, I'm actually really pleased that with the weekend's game against Oxford, that when Taylor got sent off and it was 2-1, I'm actually really pleased that Posh didn't go and win 4-5, 6-1. I think we needed a close result, something that was a bit more ground out and a bit more dogged. You know, we've seen Posh go in front a number of times away from home and throw it away. Derby, of course, the most spectacular of those. Wickham as well. And I forget what the third one was that we went in front and lost. Why am I forgetting that? Anyway, I think we needed a tight game where we could show a bit of grit, show a bit of determination, show a bit of resolve and actually come away with the points. Portsmouth, of course, the other one. It was good to see us get that vital second goal that we haven't got too much on the road when we've gone in front. And actually see it out, because the away form's been terrible. And actually, before the weekend, it was only Bolton and Charlton with a bigger points difference between home and away form of 11 points. We had 10 points as the gap. So the three of us were very good at home and not great away. So it's nice to just pick up another win. And hopefully there's a regular trickle of them now between now and the end of the season.
Fingers crossed. A red card seemed to switch it. Was it justified for you? Do you think it was a red card?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
If that's the other way around, Sam, you're still saying yeah?
For the purposes of this podcast and our discussion right now, yes.
It was soft, though, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, it was. And were it not for the free-for-all that came, I don't think the ref would have gone for red. I think he's reacted to the situation afterwards.
No, but we'll take it.
We will. And it was quite interesting. It's a good point you make, because a lot of Posh fans would have then expected us to go on and throw that away. Not just because of the fact that we were under pressure. I'm assuming we're staying with 11 players at this point. Obviously, you know, they go a man down, it changes the game. But we're at 11-11. It a lot of fans would have been expecting us to go on to lose that game, probably myself included. It's a shame that that red card came, because it would have been a really interesting benchmark to see if we could hold on with that pressure that Oxford were putting us under, because they were okay. I mean, I don't think we played that well. I don't think they did either, but they're clearly a team in turmoil just now anyway. It's a very waffly answer and a very long way of saying that it's a shame that red card came, because I wanted to see if we could if we could benchmark that. Week before, Jared, Wickham away was our chance for revenge, I guess, was our chance. It was billed as this big PPG, you know, rerun. And we dropped the ball. We were shite.
Is this Tim hosting or Kisby?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened there. I was having a moment where I was just, I don't know. But yeah, Jared, Wickham, we lost. Talk about
it. We did, and we were absolute shite, weren't we? I was really hoping for a win there, just because, no, they're not rivals, are they? But yeah, they still leaves a bit of a nasty taste in your mouth, doesn't it, with what the old PPG thing. But we were crap. That's all I've got to say on it, really, Tim. But I did watch the first half of the Oxford game, and my four-year-old only lets me watch about 45 minutes of football before he gets bored. So lucky enough, it was the first half, and yeah, it's a 2-0 win in my eyes.
Yeah, you turn off at half time. We'd probably be doing all right if you turn off at half time all throughout the season. Maybe we should just just do that and forget what comes in the second half. Prior to that, Burton, yeah, it's frustrating. Forest Green, also frustrating, Nathan. It's been, the thing is, when you look at it since we last recorded, and you know, we've won two, lost one, drawn one, we've progressed in the cup. It seems good, but it just doesn't feel like we're achieving what we could. And I look at the league table and see that we're fourth, and you just think, well, how? Because it doesn't feel like we've been on a run good enough to be in that position.
Yeah, I think we just dropped points in silly situations at times. And obviously, as Sam mentioned, just not being able to hold on to leads, you know, going ahead away from home and then just throwing results away. And it's just maybe about having that doggedness and that sort of ruggedness to just grind a result out, which obviously was kind of good to see against Oxford. Obviously, I know that they only had 10 men, but yeah, we need to find that. I think that's an element that we need to somehow have if we're going to go up. I think it's maybe something that we had when we got promoted two seasons ago, and it's something that's going to need to come into our game again. But yeah, with the Burton game, for instance, I mean, it's not taking chances, and it's being sloppy at the back, you know, not having enough concentration to just keep that result there. And then obviously with Wickham, it's a bit of a grudge game. I mean, maybe less so for them, but more so for us. And maybe we played the occasion rather than the game itself. And again, just threw a result away that you know, we just shouldn't be doing. And it's just frustrating. So I think it's something that maybe it's handy that it's happening earlier on in the season rather than necessarily, you know, towards the business end, you know, next year, you know, January onwards. So, yeah, it's frustrating, and it's something that we need to grind out of our game, I think.
So where we're at now, Sam, we 46 games we've got to play in this league. We've played 15, fourth. We are, what, we 10 off the top, three away from dropping out the playoffs. Teams around us have got games in hand. Do you see what I mean in terms of it doesn't feel like we should be in fourth on merit? Is that fair?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's weird to think that we're fourth. I mean, again, on the preview show, we're saying that we think Posh are a stronger team in a stronger league. And, you know, we went, what was it, four games in a row losing, not picking up any points. And I know that's why the gap now to the likes of Plymouth and Ipswich is what it is. We have played more, haven't we, than a lot of the teams below us. So there is that chance to be you know, overtaken and drop out of the top six, top seven. But I think, you know, the football cliche goes, you'd rather have the points on the board. So, you know, we've recovered well since then with the victories that we've had against Port Vale and MK Dons and Forest Green and at the weekend as well. It's just those games where we've led and we've not held on, and we, you know, it could have been so much better, and that's the frustrating thing. To be sitting here towards the end of October and feeling like Posh haven't really hit top form, probably only been in third gear, I think we'd say, and they're fourth, then that's really encouraging. And maybe not the position we thought we would be in a few weeks ago when we were thinking about the Cambridgeshire Derby coming up. So it's really turned round for both Posh and the youth heading into that one as well. So, it's certainly good to be sitting fourth and thinking there's more still to come.
I think you're right. It's when we are winning, it doesn't feel, it's not convincing, is it? I think that's probably why. It's those performances that just aren't quite there. Third gear is probably a really good description of it, because it's just not clicking. But is that an ability thing? Is it that we're underachieving? Is it that we haven't quite found that missing piece yet? Are we worried going forward, or are we quite content?
Like I said to you, Tim, previously, I've missed lots of football recently, but just catching up on everything before the podcast.
Well, we know why now you've been missing football, don't we? The fact that you've got clothes pregnant again. But, yeah.
There's been nothing good on TV, that's what it is. Yeah, I think, like I said, I've missed lots, but it's, I think the lineup, every time I see the lineup, I'm just not, basically Jack Marriott. I'm a massive Jack Marriott fan, and to see him benched all the time, I just think it's ridiculous. And I know we're trying to play with one up front, but you can't if you've got Jack Marriott on the bench. He is an unbelievable striker, in my opinion, and a runner games, and he's one who's going to score you 25 plus. And I like the idea of him and JZH up top. I know we've done that previously in the season. But yeah, it just doesn't feel right. And looking at the table tonight, I was absolutely amazed at fourth. I couldn't believe it. Just because, like you say, it's been very stop-start season, hasn't it? It's a few rubbish results, and then we have a couple of wins. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if we end up losing to Atkins and Stanley on Tuesday night. So it's just one of them. We can't seem to get into a good vein of form.
Yeah, and it's weird you say about the team, because I don't know about you, Nathan, but the lineup when it came out for Saturday for the Oxford game, I'm looking at that initial lineup before a ball had been kicked, thinking, what has happened here? It was like they'd used a lucky dip system to pick the team. It was very disjointed and strange, and a weird setup. I mean, a couple of players in there did all right, but I don't know about you, it just feels like Grant's still trying to fit the pieces, you know?
I think I half expected it purely from the fact that he'd said we had up to 10 players potentially out, which sort of rung alarm bells to me in the first place. But I actually quite liked it. I just thought, yeah, you've given it a bit of a shake-up here, and I'm kind of interested to see how this goes. And, you know, I suppose technically we can say that it worked. I thought Efron Clark, obviously coming on, starting, and getting, I think it was 2 assists, you know, that's exactly what we've needed. And he was a player that was coming under a bit of criticism, you know, obviously with the Smodic sale and maybe not necessarily replacing like for like and you know, maybe quality in there. And he's obviously gone and shown, actually, you know, I've got some ability here and I can make a difference. In terms of the lineup, I thought it looked okay to me. I maybe wasn't as worried as some fans that I saw in terms of their tweets. But yeah, it, like I said, I think it was good that he shaked things up, and ultimately it's come out as a result for us. So I guess we can't really complain. You know, a win is a win as far as, you know, we want good results and we want, you know, good performances, and we want to sort of feel as if we're, you know, one of the best in the league. I think just getting points on the board, especially this half of the season, is probably the key. And ultimately that 11 has brought that. So, yeah, I guess we've got to praise the players that played, and, you know, hopefully the ones that do come back from their knocks or injuries or whatever they've had can, you know, do even better than that.
Yeah, you bang on. You are right. It just, I think with the disjointed nature and the stop-start.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Like Jared mentions, and his changing lineups, it's still got a pre-season feel about it all at the minute. It's like you don't know, there's no consistency in the lineup. There's no consistency in the way that we play. The only consistent thing at the minute seems to be that Jack Marriott can't get on the pitch. But other than that, that was a little puppy dog face you just did there, Jared. Like, you're like down with Ronnie Edwards. You've got a man crush on him.
I love the man. Like I say, League One level. I said it about Ivan Toney, about the cheat code thing, and I think he's got that level about him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe once upon a time. I don't think he's the player that he used to be, but yeah, maybe. But we can arm wrestle over that at some point. Was it Jack Marriott that got Chloe pregnant? Is that why you love him so much?
I wouldn't be able to. I don't know. If he pays for it, I'm all right with that.
I'm sure he creates wonderful children. Sam, you've been doing some digging around the figures, particularly around substitutions and how we're doing towards the end of the game in comparison to other teams in the league.
It probably comes nicely in terms of us talking about the fact that it feels like it's a bit disjointed and we haven't clicked and yet we're still fourth, because obviously there's a massive gap, as you said, between home and away form. We've had some blistering home performances and then some terrible ones away. And I was just doing a bit of a look up on some of the stats beforehand. And there are only Posh and Lincoln in League One who haven't scored in the final 15 minutes of games this season. Lincoln have conceded twice. Posh have conceded 6 times. So we're comfortably the worst team in the final 15 minutes of games in terms of goal difference and, you know, the points that then equates to. And in fact, it's only Crawley and Rochdale are the other two teams in the Football League at this stage now of the season who haven't scored in the final 15 minutes. So not great company there. Although Lincoln have had some good results recently, haven't they? Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday. And then the other one was that in terms of conceding away from home, Posh 15, only Forest Green and Burton have conceded more away. Interestingly, Plymouth have actually conceded 14 away, but they've scored 17. So, you know, they're banging them in at the other end, as we saw with the 2-2 draw against Bristol Rovers. And then the other one was just about Johnson Clark-Harris, because he made his 100th league appearance for Posh the other weekend. And I think it's 51 or 52 goals in those 100, which, when you consider there was a season in the Championship where we got relegated, that's, you know, pretty good return from Clark-Harris. And you know, maybe that's the reason why League One's top scorer is always going to get you a number of points, no matter how many you concede away and how bad you are in the final 15 minutes.
That first stat is quite interesting. Do you think that's down to... is it a mentality thing or maybe a fitness issue? Because that's what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah, that's always what you go to, wouldn't it? Fitness issue. I may be wrong, but I feel like this was an issue towards the end of McCann's.
I was just going to say, Sam, I'm glad that you mentioned McCann. It's not fitness. It's not mentality. It's McCann. He makes the most bizarre changes at completely the wrong point of the game and has done so consistently all through his reign at Posh. I know I cut you off there, Sam. Apologies. But it's a McCann issue for me, I think.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'll see how those stats go. But they're comfortably the worst, aren't they, at the moment in the league in the final 15 minutes. And you would think it isn't fitness or mentality, because he's really keen on that. And so is his assistant, Cliff Byrne. You know, they came in and that was an issue. And they've turned it, you know, in the Championship, they really turned it around, because Posh had been conceding late goals. And they came in and they said they'd work on the mentality, they'd work on the fitness. So it would seem like it isn't that. But then, yeah, what is it? Is it the substitutions? I mean, the pattern is now strong enough, isn't it, over the course of the season we've had to start to be concerned by it?
That's a good point on substitutions, because obviously a lot of teams are changing how they make them now, because obviously you can have more, can't you? So I think possibly... you've got to think about it, though. If you're into a game and you've had a player on for 70 minutes, they know how, say if it's a defender, they know how the striker plays. You change that up, a crucial part of the game, which McCann has been doing this season. I think it's a dangerous tactic. It really is.
Every football manager player knows that you don't change a defender in the last 15 minutes of a game. Every football manager player knows that. So how does Grant McCann not know that? It's a really interesting point, though, those stats, because don't get me wrong, just to clarify, I'm very much a McCannian. I love the guy. I think he's exactly the right person at the club just now, and I'm very much happy to have him in charge. But he has to do better. His tactical decisions have been questionable at times this season, particularly towards the end of games, as you've alluded to, and you can't argue with those stats that you've just mentioned there, Sam. I think it's fair to say Grant is underperforming, but I'm confident that he would be aware of that and that he'll know that he needs to do better. He very rarely puts blame directly onto the players, so I think he'll know that, but it's absolutely a concern, because we saw it against MK Dons. You couldn't be in a more comfortable position in that game. And then we put ourselves in a very precarious situation. We saw it out, but the point is we put ourselves there in the first place. So really interesting fact that.
That Milton Keynes game, I wasn't in a comfortable position. I was in a small room with Matthew Kisby with the lights off. It's not a place you want to be, that.
You'll be talking to your therapist about that one soon.
I've got a meeting booked on Monday.
Yeah, fair play. That's really interesting. All right, then, quick break, and then we will look ahead to... well, we've got a little game against Accrington. We've got a game against Manchester United C team in the Cup, but we've also got the small matter of a Cambridgeshire derby to preview. Okie dokie, Accrington, Stanley, who are they exactly on Tuesday night? I'm not going to go into this too much, because by the time this has made it to air, most of the listeners will know the results. So just very quickly round the table, give me a score prediction, purely because the listener will know how far off you are as they take in this podcast. Jared, Accrington, Stanley at home.
1-0 win to Posh.
Nathan.
2-1 win.
Sam.
I was going to say 2-1 as well, so I'll go 2-0 just to make it different.
I think we draw this 1-1. Accrington stand. No, I mean, you've got to be Accrington, haven't you? But they did all right against Bolton Saturday. They were unlucky for all intents and purposes. They also cost me a spot in my ACCA, but we won't hold that against them. It won't be as easy as Posh fans think this, but you've got to win this game, particularly if you're serious about what we want this season. Looking ahead to next weekend, though, and it's the big one. This is the first derby day for us in the league since 2001, when we played out a 0-0 draw in South Cambridgeshire. Overall, we've got the record over Cambridge. So we've won 16, drawn 11 and lost 14. We've not lost to them in any competition since 1998. Biggest win was also back in 2001 when we won 4-1 at home. Franny Green and Dave Farrell amongst the scorers that day. We championed them at the start of the season, or should I say I did. However, since then, they are in awful form. They have sunk down the table quicker than Jared at a buffet. They're now sitting 18th, just 4 points above safety, and with 5 straight defeats in the league, which puts them bottom of the form table. They're away to Wickham on Tuesday, so listeners will know how that played out. Potentially have lost 6 in a row. But let's be honest, form goes out the window in this kind of game, doesn't it? Sellout crowd at London Road, Jared. You cannot help but be excited for this one.
No, I cannot wait for it. I was glad that they come up in the same division for games like this. It makes League One a little bit more interesting because it is relatively a dull league, isn't it? So, no, I can't wait. And I think we'll absolutely thrash them as well.
Do you? So, going back to what we were saying about mentality, there is a question of mentality here. Are we playing the occasion or the team? If we play the team, I would agree with you. I think we will beat them. But do you think we'll walk over them like that?
I just think we've got more experience in, you know, with big games and, you know, when you're under pressure rather than they have. So I think, 3-0 posh. I've got a good feeling it'd be a great day. Massive crowd, good atmosphere and a 3-0 posh win.
If that plays out, Nathan, if we do absolutely barnstorm them, it could be a turning point for our season. I know it's cliche, but that could be you could look back and say that was where we unlocked it, do you think?
Hopefully. I mean, that point is something that we do need. We do need that game where we think, okay, this is serious business now. And maybe that is probably the exact type of game that maybe that can happen with. I'd probably see, I can see maybe a 2-0 win. I'd like to say maybe 3-0, but I think comfortable, I'll say 2-0 for me.
We'll take that. Sam, obviously we've got the Accrington game between now and then, but as we're sat here now, do you make much in the way of changes? Are there any players that you look at and think you're a big game player or vice versa, you wouldn't risk them in this sort of match? I'm thinking, for example, Nathan Thompson could potentially be a liability in this kind of game. Is there any players along those sort of lines?
Well, I think Nathan Thompson, yeah, you're always worried about him getting a dodgy yellow early on or then a red. I'm not too sure. I think obviously take it how Tuesday goes, but I think, you know, we've talked about Posh in the final 15. They're actually one of the best in the first 15 and Cambridge are one of the worst in the first 15. So I think we just need to go out of the blocks. And that's probably a reason to play Marriott and Clark Harris, you know, really get at them, really rough them up. Because I think if Cambridge start to get into the game, you know, again, we don't know what's happened in Tuesday's results, but they've lost 7 and 8. They've lost 5 in a row in the league for the first time in 8.5 years. You know, they're in a bad place at the moment since their manager nearly went to Rotherham and then turned them down. You thought that might spur them on, but it's not. They've really sunk. So, you know, if they start to get into the game, it's the perfect occasion for them, really, being in the form they're in. And I think being the bigger club over those last 20 odd years that you've been saying, it's, you know, the pressure's always a bit more on the bigger club. So just need to get out the traps, get at them and get in front early on. And then, you know, we know how strong Posh can be at home. So hopefully an early goal. And yeah, play Clark Harrison Marriott. Give Jared his dream day.
Yeah, you're quite right. And I am absolutely buzzing. Talking about players that could potentially be a liability, though, one player that springs to mind, and I wonder if any of you have heard any update on this, because I'm pretty sure that Oliver Norburn is due back around about now or relatively soon. Has anyone seen anything in terms of, is he training? Is he coming back to the club? Is he off to Blackpool? Anyone heard out?
Yeah, I think the club have released some pictures of him doing some private training sessions, and I heard more January time. But yeah, I think he'll be back in the new year.
But will he be in Blackpool?
No, I think he'll move straight to Blackpool, but either way, he's going to be playing football again.
Yeah, which is what we like to see. The thing is, I do really rate him, and I think if we could keep him at the club until the end of the season, I'd be quite happy with that. I think he would fit in. Just quickly as well, while we're talking about players that just seem to have disappeared, turns out Ryan Broom has left the club and been sold. I didn't know this. I didn't see this on any of the socials. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But he's signed for Cheltenham. Did anyone else know that?
Yeah.
Oh, just me then. Good. Okay, fine. It's just me not keeping up then. That must have been a day when I was on a night shift. That's my excuse. Did the club put something out about that?
No, they tried to sweep it under the carpet.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I've lined you up for that one, didn't I? Nathan was nodding prior to that awful dad joke about... I must have missed that. So they put out a tweet saying that you'd gone.
I'm fairly sure they did, yeah.
Ah, fair enough. That's just me not keeping up with the news then.
I read it somewhere, so...
Yeah, I'm gutted about that. I think we're going to regret that. Why?
Yeah.
I think we're going to regret that. You look.
Yeah, but you do this. I know I'm... You do this, right? So, Gia Hagen, whatever his name was, right? Absolutely shite, let's be honest.
Whoa.
Rubbish football. It's fun to watch if you with the opposite team. But you loved him and you started a fan club with three people in it. And then you did the same with Ryan Broom. You just choose a player. Well, you just started with Randall. Let's get a fan club started for Randall and get a bit of support.
The thing is, Big X was a bit of a meme. He was a bit of a joke while he was at the club. But I genuinely think Ryan Broom is a good player. You look at what he did for Plymouth. I honestly think that I think we're going to live to regret that. I really do. Moving past the Cambridgeshire derby, we've got Manchester United C team in the FA Cup away. How are we feeling about this? Are we happy?
I've only just realised that joke.
Yeah, it took me ages. I was like, what?
I was looking for an EFL trophy game.
Yeah.
Not in Manchester United.
I had it as well, and then I
realised. Yeah,
so their under-21s are actually quite good. I think it's a good draw, to be honest. Be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think have we ever played them. I don't think we have.
I don't believe so. I'll have a quick look while you.
So yeah, I guess it'll be good to have them, and you'd like to think that we get a reasonable crowd down there. You might even sort of see Scholes and Neville and that lot turn up. So, yeah, why not? I mean, you know, FA Cup games, that's kind of what they're for, aren't they? They're meant to throw up games that you might not necessarily have expected. And obviously, they're a decent League Two team trying to get promoted as well. So I think it'd be a good tie.
Do we win it?
I'd say so.
Yeah, Sam, we winning this?
Yeah, we should do, shouldn't we? We should. I mean, I know Salford have miles of column inches and hours of TV broadcast because of where they've come from and who's owned them. And for that reason, the tabloid headline writers are probably gutted that Darren Ferguson isn't the manager of Posh anymore. But
yeah, that's true.
We should have enough to beat Salford.
We can still be Darren Ferguson's Peter United for the day. Jared, you off to this one?
I think we'll lose this. I really do.
Oh, and would you be upset if we got out of the cup?
It's the FA Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like a run. I think our game against Man City last season was brilliant for the city, for everyone. It was great. So, yeah, no, I would like a run in the FA Cup. So I would be gutted, yeah.
Fair enough. A couple of other little sound bites just before you fellas head off. So we talked about match day prices on a previous episode, and PUFC Stats got in contact on Twitter. The cost of one adult, or the average cost of one adult attending each club in League One, incredible stats. Who do you think is the most expensive club to go and watch football for in League One?
By the look on Tim's face, I'm going to presume it might be us.
Where were you going with that, Sam?
I was going to say Ipswich, but now I'm thinking it might be us.
It is us. It's not even a tie. £27 the cost for one adult. Second place, £26 for a host of clubs such as Wednesday, Plymouth, etc. Who do you think is the cheapest?
Probably Accrington.
Morecambe.
Both good shouts. Is Bristol Rovers £15 cost for one adult? So
Joey Barton as a manager?
We are the most expensive.
You'd think they'd be more expensive to pay for all his fines, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
But it makes us the most expensive club to go and watch football at in the league, if you're an adult at least, anyway, which is...
Because we're the best.
Yeah. With so many goals, isn't it? It's only Man City who have a better goal difference at home, so there's clearly value for money. I'm taking my little ones. Their first game at London Road. First game is going to be the Cambridge game.
Do you know what? I was so tempted to do the same and take my little girl because she's been wanting to go for ages and she's got a thing for crowd reactions. She doesn't like football, but she loves watching crowds and, like, you know, limbs and all that sort of cliche. So I thought the Cambridgeshire game would be perfect. But A, I couldn't get tickets, and B, I decided against it because as much as she would enjoy it, there's potentially a sinister side to that game that I don't want her to see necessarily.
How old, Sam, are you taking them for the first time? How old are they?
Well, they've been to one game before. They went to the 6-2 game at Bramall Lane, and we forgot to take their noise-cancelling headphones and thought, it's okay, hopefully there aren't many goals. And there were 8, and it was a massive crowd, obviously. So 3, 3.5 and 1.5 are their ages.
Sounds like hard work, that does.
Well, I'm listening to help and make. The main reason for going, to be honest, is a little insight, is that my brother-in-law is actually a Cambridge fan, and it's my niece's birthday the next day, her party. So I'm really hoping that by taking the whole family and posh winning, we can really rub it in the next day.
Spoil their day. Can you imagine if it backfires, though? It could be very awkward.
I just won't go.
You'll have to cancel. The car will break down. I'm in Cambridge on the Sunday, actually, so I'll fully plan on wearing my posh shirt if it goes well. Otherwise, it will be sat in the back of the car. More excitingly, though, the Posh Girls team beat Rotherham 25-0 in the week, tweeted about it, and the tweet very, very quickly gained traction to the point that the Posh Girls team then deleted the tweet because they thought it was unfair on the Rotherham players. Game's gone soft, right? I mean, 25-0, you're still in it at 21-0, aren't you? But then
some of the replies were absolutely brilliant. Could have gone either way. Love that. Yeah. But no, fair play. It's a hell of a win, isn't it?
Yeah, but apparently we're not allowed to, celebrate that because it makes Rotherham players feel...
They don't have score lines with the kids now, do they? A friend of mine, he coaches teams, and I was asking him how his team's getting on. But they don't have score lines. I used to play in a team, and that's probably for this reason, because it did upset me every Sunday, because we used to lose about 23-0. But I don't know, it just taught me how to lose, and now I don't like losing. So I think it's a good thing to lose. To experience losing, rather. You got to experience it, haven't you?
I mentioned it earlier, just very quickly before you all shoot off. Football Manager 2023 came out this week. Any of you lads partaken in purchasing?
Yes.
I heard that it's out on the console now. Is that true?
It's coming out November. Yeah, it's coming out on PS5 and Xbox, I believe. It's always been out on Switch as well. I always find it quite interesting because a lot of listeners will think, it's just a game. And it is. However, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of data points in that game. And we know that the real-world professional game takes its data from Football Manager, such as the size of its database. There's even rumours that Erling Haaland was first found on Football Manager, and that's how he's come to the problem.
He was, actually, yeah.
Which is an incredible stat, isn't it? Mm. Incredible. So it's always quite interesting when new versions come around to see how the current squad compares to perhaps what we think they are. And what I've learned very quickly from playing it so far this week is that our squad depth is shite. And outside of a couple of really good players, we have awful quality at this club. And it's unfair to include him here, but Joel Randall's one of them. Ricky J. Jones is also another one. There's several players that come through that aren't wonderful. I don't know. It's quite interesting. If anyone is playing it, let us know how you're getting on. I did manage to get Posh promoted, finished second, lost that to Plymouth on the final day for the title. Tim in is all I'm saying at this point. I think Grant...
Tim Howe, though, because it takes ages to do a season. It's so time-consuming. How have you done that?
I don't really have a life, mate, if I'm honest.
That's like night shifts for the NHS, isn't it?
Yeah, sat outside hospitals waiting to hand over patients, just sat on Football Manager on my laptop. That's genuinely it. But
I've got an image of Derek on a drip in the back and you just clinching promotion at Wembley.
Yeah, frustrated that I'd lost out to Plymouth. But no, let us know how you're getting on if you are playing it and if any of the Posh players have gone on to surprise you. The only real surprise I found, I say, is that our squad depth is shocking.
Really, and Harrison Burrow is terrible on it.
Isn't he just?
It's so frustrating. I was expecting like 3.5 stars, and it's just not.
Ronnie Edwards, though, absolutely sound. Sold him to Wolves.
I've not played it for years, but what I always found was that it was worse on FIFA. Football Manager was better, but the research of League One and below was just terrible. But I guess it's probably got miles better.
It's incredible.
I must say, FIFA have improved that hugely because they never, like you say, Sam, after, well, Premier League at one point, but Championship and below, they just didn't bother. But now they've put a lot more effort in, FIFA-wise anyway.
Yeah. No, the data points at Posh that they've got are pretty in-depth. You're talking millions, and that's why, obviously, clubs buy into that data because it does all their scouting for them. So, but yeah, let us know how you're getting on. Let us know if you do get the club promoted and see if you can keep us in the Championship. And who knows, maybe you could apply next time we sack Darren Ferguson. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and please leave us a review and rate the podcast on Apple and Spotify. It helps us climb the podcast charts. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got a few more guest appearances lined up throughout the season. And join us in a fortnight. Up the posh.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.